rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
It's Christmas, and you know what that means. It's time for your annual trip to church with your parents. And you're in luck, because this year, St. Joseph's Church is going full throttle with our one-night-only Christmas Mass Spectacular. We've got appearances by all your church favorites, like Devin, the newly atheist teen who's making a point of not saying the prayers. Pastor Pat, who sings everything at constantly changing speeds.
All glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father. Forever and ever.
And Mr. Troubler, who's eager to say peace be with you while holding out the sweatiest hand you've ever seen.
Why so wet?
Still not sold? Well, we got organist Linda Dejo. Watch her take 20 minutes to arrange her sheet music and still start on the wrong chord.
Just a little bit of a parody ad for a Christmas service during the latest episode of Saturday Night Live. I saw it, watched it on Saturday night, thought it was funny. Why did so many other people find it so funny? Why was this, among all of the pokes and jabs that comedy shows like Saturday Night Live take at Christianity and at Christians, religion in general, why did this one turn out to be humorous, even for Christians watching it? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, December the 19th. Thanks for tuning us in. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us to talk about this parody ad for a Christmas service on SNL a little bit later. Dr. Paul Meyer will be our guest. We're going to talk about a column in yesterday's Washington Post asserting that it's doubtful, improbable at the best, that Jesus ever even existed. We'll talk with Pastor Joseph Abrahamson about an assertion that Jesus is just a kind of a copycat of a more ancient pagan god or gods, and then Holly Shear will join us to talk about teaching our children contentment during the Christmas season. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners can use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to discuss a very funny parody ad for a Christmas service on the latest episode of Saturday Night Live, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, senior editor at The Federalist and author of a recent column titled Saturday Night Live's Christmas Parody Works Because It Doesn't Hate Christians. Molly, welcome back.
It is always good to be with you.
Why was this? I find a lot of their parodies very funny, but this one aimed at the church, I was a little wary going into it. Why did so many find it so funny?
Right. I'm one of these people who does watch Saturday Night Live. I've watched it for decades, and there's, you know, there have been different years that are better and there are years that are worse. But one of the things I find really annoying about Saturday Night Live is that frequently they're doing these lazy pieces that are making fun of Christians or making fun of conservatives. And here was this parody that was actually funny, I think, because it showed that they didn't hate Christians. I mean, the parody only works if you know what it's like to be in a congregation and if you have met these characters. And that way that when you are in a congregation, you know, you're all kind of thrown together. It's not like these are people you would choose necessarily to be with. And we all are, you know, different. We all are weird, and we all have our own quirks and whatnot. And it just seemed like it was written by someone who actually went to church. And it was almost surprising given how so much of comedy and so much of elite media goes the other way.
So it kind of raises a question. And one of the things I found interesting is that it depicted what we would probably call nowadays a traditional, probably Catholic, or perhaps Episcopalian, but a typical Catholic parish. What did you think of that?
Yeah, no, I think that's interesting. Now, one of the things I think is interesting about that is whenever the media wants like a quick and easy way to portray Christians, they always go to the liturgical because you can just look at it and see, you know, the priest or the pastor is wearing vestments, for instance. The sanctuary does not seem like it doubles as a rock concert hall. You know, you just immediately understand this is that we're talking about church. But also, you know, it's kind of true that a lot of people who aren't liturgical Christians don't even necessarily go to church on Christmas. So in order for it to work, it had to be a liturgical church body.
That was the first thing that I thought when I finished watching it, was a person who's been raised outside the historic worship form of the church, for whom the inside of that sanctuary looked like someplace they'd never seen, they probably weren't going to think that was as funny. They were probably just not going to get the jokes.
That's entirely possible. And I think that some Christians didn't find it funny, and that might have been why. They didn't relate to it.
Talk about the value that Christians can both find in and make use of parody.
You know, one of the things I think is really interesting is that parody only really works, satire only really works as funny when you're doing it from a place of love. And the sort of gold standard that I think of this by is the show Portlandia, which makes fun of Portland more brutally than its harshest critics ever could. But Portlandia is actually made by people who live in Portland and obviously love Portland. And it's from that love that they can poke fun. Likewise, you know, obviously Lutheran satire is, you know, I hope your listeners are familiar with, has some of the funniest religious humor that you have seen. Poking fun at all, you know, no one's immune from the biting wit and whatnot of Hans Beanie, who creates those. But it's obviously written from a place of, you know, love and encouragement for the Christian church. And I think that satire and parody only really work that way. They don't work when you're being hostile. And they're not funny when you're poking fun at people who you clearly don't like. Then it just comes off the table.
Should Christians be consider this a backhanded compliment, that they could be recognized on Christmas, all the things they could have parodied on Christmas, on Saturday Night Live, they decided to do the scenario of a young adult going back to church with his parents, kind of because he had to, a very, very common, realistic situation.
Right. I love that, actually. You know, it starts out with this, you know, you're going back to church, for your one-time annual trip that you do with your parents. Now, we know that there are people who are just like that, obviously. So there's something that's really true and, you know, relatable about that, whether that's you yourself or someone in your family who you struggle with because they're not, you know, regularly attending church. But I certainly think that it is so much better to be having humor like this done around the Christian service than not being done. I mean, I really worry about a culture that can't even make this type of fun because so few people actually even go to church. You know, there are cultures that are like that, and I think, you know, some parts of the country that are increasingly becoming like that. But I also thought it was funny that poking fun at the guy who's going through his atheist phase as a teenager, which kind of speaks to that same thing. It's something that we've all known, or we know people who have gone through that, and I think it's good to be able to sort of poke fun at ourselves that way.
So what would you say to someone, a Christian, who said, well, I don't watch Saturday Night Live because I find it so offensive, but someone did send this to me on social media, and I watched the video, and I didn't think it was funny. I don't think these heathens should be making fun of Christians of any stripe. What would you say to them?
I mean, first off, there's no accounting for humor, and that's perfectly fine if people don't find the same thing funny. And secondly, I would argue that it had to have been done by someone who was deeply familiar with Christian life and worship life. It only rang true because someone who wrote that skit, or the people who wrote that, clearly were familiar with congregational life. So I kind of reject the idea that there aren't Christians working for Saturday Night Live or whatnot. But more than that, too, I think that it's important for Christians to be fully engaged in the culture. It's, of course, easy to cloister yourself off and not be involved where the actual masses are watching or what they're reading or what they're listening to. But it's actually important for people to be aware of what's going on that way so that they can relate to their friends and family who are not in the same place they are, not worshiping regularly or whatnot.
You cited your piece for the Federalist, the Pew poll that recently came out, noting that 3/4 of U.S. adults still believe, I guess I say still believe, in the virgin birth right around this time of Christmas. What do those kind of results of kind of general polling of the American people tell you as someone who obviously wants to see Christianity not only accurately, but in this kind of way, kind of lovingly portrayed in the media?
Well, I thought that poll result was really surprising, and yet it's actually probably been about that number ever since, you know, the country began. I mean, if you think about it, and the idea that I guess what concerns me is so much of our shared cultural experiences have gotten away from this reality that the vast majority of people in this country are Christians, that they believe the central tenets of the faith. And sometimes we can get caught up in that, too, and think that we are less powerful or less populous than we are. And that is a very important thing for us to have a realistic understanding of the country that we live in. And also, I think, you know, fight for and reward and compliment that media that does recognize that we are Christians. And that's one of the things that we do at Federalist is kind of treat people as if they are very likely to be religious. And we have been rewarded with that by the Federalist, the magazine, the web magazine where I am. We routinely run stories that kind of just assume that people might be going to church. And that's a very different media environment than you get from a lot of mainstream media that sort of pretends that that's not true.
Well, as you mentioned that before, SNL is produced, it's written, produced, and in a lot of ways gets its entire worldview most of the time from that very insular, a-religious culture of New York. Nothing against New York as a city, but it's a very insular kind of the cocktail party circuit of classical American liberalism. So what do you see hopeful for kind of the future of humor there in the parody that we got to see this last Saturday night?
I don't know. I mean, you're totally right that New York has got to be the most provincial place in the entire country. And what makes it so funny is that they think that they are the opposite of that. And every time I visit New York, I just think these people have no idea how they are not the center of the universe and that not everybody thinks this way. But this is actually the second thing I've seen this year on SNL that kind of showed them to be a little bit breaking out of their typical mold. I can't even remember what it was exactly, but they poked a little bit of fun at President Obama. And I mean, that is such a minor thing. I mean, usually SNL, it's bread and butter, is making fun of whoever's president. But in this environment, that's been a very dangerous thing for them to do. And I think that, you know, just having something fresh or new like that, maybe they're realizing that having the same targets of their humor over and over is not a recipe for success.
Well, finally, what do you think? For me, it was refreshing to see, even if it was by way of humor and parody, a recognition of the kind of congregation, if not denominationally, at least in terms of its orientation, the kind of denomination that I see every Sunday morning that I both serve and attend. What about you?
Absolutely. And it's a really good reminder for those of us that are in places where we can be responsible for conveying stuff like that, that we remember to do that. Just seeing something that looks familiar like that can be so refreshing to people. It can be, can also give people, you know, it just is a wonderful thing to show the diversity that is out there and the beauty of the liturgy and whatnot. Although you have to acknowledge that you must have noted that he was wearing the wrong colored shawl for Christmas. So I was getting a kick out of like what was wrong with, and also the altar pyramids were different than different colors in the stool, it just kind of cracked me up. But I give an A for effort there.
Molly Ziegler Hemingway is senior editor at The Federalist. She's author of a recent column titled "Saturday Night Live's Christmas Parody Works Because It Doesn't Hate Christians." You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, thank you again.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to turn from the New York scene to the Washington Post, where very recently a column appeared. Actually, it was yesterday's Washington Post, doubting asserting as positively improbable that the historical Jesus ever existed, any Jesus whatsoever, totally made up. We'll deal with the assertions made there. Dr. Paul Meyer, Professor Emeritus of Ancient History at Western Michigan University, will be our guest.
Last-minute gift ideas for me. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight.
With a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying...
Tired of the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the ministry and ecclesiastical supervisors doing nothing about it? Register today at acelc.net for our next conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Don't just rant about it. Find out what you can do at acelc.net.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, outdoornativitystore.com.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.